So when Barb and I first got married, there were several occasions where we would walk into a restaurant and then we find out how long we need to wait. And many of those times, Barb would hear me say, "I'm not waiting that long. We're out of here and we're going to leave." Any of you other guys like that or maybe? Okay. All right. I've learned a couple things over the years. One, sometimes it's really just about the relationship. That didn't just dawn on me. I think it was fed to me. But it's about the relationship. And there are things in life that are worth waiting for, right? There's got to be. But so what makes something worth waiting for? Well, in this instance, all these people are apologizing to their wives right now. In this sense, it may be the quality of the food. It may be the atmosphere. But sometimes waiting isn't just as simple as going to a restaurant and having to wait 20, 30 minutes, up to an hour, whatever it is. Sometimes we wait days. Sometimes we wait weeks and months and years or a lifetime for something that's very valuable. Sometimes we wait for healing that we're saying it doesn't look like this is coming. Maybe we're waiting for justice or some kind of vindication. And those are a little bit harder, right? We could agree with that that's a lot more harder than sitting in a restaurant for 20 minutes. So what keeps us going? And the hope is, right, that whatever we're waiting for is exponentially greater than the discomfort we're feeling in the moment. That's our hope. And the truth is, waiting is not always easy. Is anybody here really good at waiting? Wow, I see that hand. Oh wait, that's a different part in the service. But waiting is really at the heart of Advent, and that's the time of the year we're in. For those of you that follow the liturgical calendar, which is probably next to none of you, but we're in the Advent season, and this time of year is more about is more than being about the presents and the holiday cheer and all that stuff. Advent comes from the Latin word, which means the coming. Or the arrival. And so as we're leading up to Christmas for hundreds of years, people have celebrated both the birth of Christ, his first coming, but Advent is bigger because we're waiting for the promise of him to come back. It's a bigger picture. Advent isn't saying, oh, we're waiting for Christmas Day when we can open up presents. We're waiting for the fullness of the kingdom of God. And at the center of our faith, there's this belief that Jesus Christ, he was born in this manger. He started something right in the middle of our mess. So if you're in a mess, just recognize that Jesus, our Emmanuel, came and he stepped right into that mess. And so through his life, his death, his resurrection, he would restore the world the way that it was intended to be. And that's our hope. That's what we're waiting for. That's the longing that we're looking for. And so throughout Advent, we're gonna go through a couple themes: hope, peace, joy, and love. And so today we're gonna start with this theme, hope. Can anybody use some hope this morning? Okay. Got a lot more hands on that one. That's good. We need hope. And hope's kind of a funny word, right? I mean, we're like, I hope I get what I want for Christmas. Or I hope grandma doesn't burn the ham. Or why anybody would ever say this one? I hope it snows on Christmas. I hope it doesn't. But sometimes when it's kind of like the word love, right? We I love you and I love hot dogs. Like, sometimes we lose the depth of these words. And hope isn't just some wishful thinking about something trivial. So let's start with 1 Peter. I'm gonna read several verses, and I want to talk about hope, and I want us to know that hope is active. It's not something where I'm just sitting around, you know, waiting, but it's active, it's assured, and as I'm waiting. So 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1:13, Peter writes and he says this. He says, therefore, he says, prepare your minds for action and being sober-minded. He says, set your hope. So here's where we're going to set our hope. He says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So most of the time when people talk about hope, they're talking about some future event. But it also has a lot to do with the present, right? That's why we hope, because hope informs us in the moment. And Peter says, he says, prepare your mind for action. A literal translation would be gird up the loins of your mind. And I think the translators didn't do that because you go, what does gird up the loins of your mind mean? The idea comes from this ancient form of dress that the men would wear, almost like an outer skirt. So if they're going to prepare for action, they're going to take that skirt and they're going to gird up their loins. They're going to tuck it in, because if you need to do something, you're not going to be running around in a skirt. I think I heard that like in softball, where a guy would like swing and miss, and they'd say, pull up your skirt and hit the ball. Maybe not exactly the same, but that's what he's saying. He's saying get ready. So as you're hoping, you need to get ready. It's not we're just sitting there like, yeah, we're waiting for Jesus to come back. That's not what they're saying at all. Peter's saying gird up your loins, get ready, get ready for action. So it's not something just that impacts the future, but it impacts our present action right now. You show me a hopeful person, and I'll show you somebody that is taking some kind of action or some kind of reliance upon God in this moment. First point here: hope is a certainty about the future that impacts the present. It's a certainty. I have a certainty that God is going to be faithful to His word, and that impacts my present moment. Our hope is set in a specific moment in history. Think about what we're celebrating at Christmas. So we're celebrating Jesus who came as a baby. We're celebrating his entire life, his death, his resurrection. Those are moments in history. Those are moments where we're saying we're setting our hope on what Christ has done and the promise of what he will do. So hope is living right now in the light of a future promise. And I think this hope should restructure the way we see the world. We should be able to look at the brokenness in the world and say we have hope. We have hope because of Jesus Christ. Let me read a passage. Isaiah, thanks for reading from Isaiah this morning. But Isaiah 9, and I want us to think this through, because this was written to exiles, people that They were removed from their home. They're living in a foreign country. They're almost without hope, and these passages would have been read for years and would have given hope to them. So just think how this would have sounded to them. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 2, 6, and 7. The Bible says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. So if you're walking in some darkness, it doesn't look good right now. He's saying, those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who have dwelt in the land of deep darkness. It's going a little deeper here. Deep darkness, on them has a light shone. Verse 6, here's the reason why. It says, For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Man, do you read that and you go, yes, yes, that's what I want. Like even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's what we want. And because the Jewish people believed that this rescue was coming, that God is faithful to his promises, it helped them live day to day in their trials and in their struggles in a world is it just me or did people look, did you guys look out and go, man, the world is ugly at times. The world is dark at times. And there's this promise that this light is coming. And this morning, I want to talk about an old man. He's believed to be 112 years old, so it's fair enough. He's older than everyone here, so we can call him an old man. Simeon. And within the pages of Scripture, they talk about Simeon's response, really, to this passage. He's this wonderful Advent character that's an example that orientated his life around the promises that God had given him. We need to live in light of these promises, and I'm preaching to myself. I get up in the morning, and I need to remind myself, okay, God, you are faithful. You are faithful to your promises. So Luke chapter 2, let's read about Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke 2, begin at verse 25, and I'll read a fairly lengthy passage here. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he's seen the Lord's Christ. How cool is that? Holy Spirit comes to you and says, hey, before you die, you are going to see the Messiah. Verse 27, and it says, And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents, this is Jesus' parents, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at this and said about what was said of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So some traditions tell us that Simeon's about 112 years old, and he was promised, saying, Simeon, you are not going to die until you see the Messiah in the flesh. And so this day, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he's at the temple when Jesus and his family arrive, and he realizes, I don't know how he realizes this, the scripture doesn't necessarily tell us, but he realizes that this Jesus is the one. This is the one that he's been waiting for. This is the one that is the hope of Israel. This is the one that is the hope of the entire world. Now, if Simeon's 112 years old, and even if he's only 100 years old, think of the things that he would have lived through if we go through history. He would have saw the Romans conquer and occupy the land that he was living in. He would have lived through a bloody civil war. He would have saw multiple revolutions by the Israelite people that were crushed. But yet in the difficult moments of all this, he had hope. He lived through that. And yet he had hope. He believed that God was not done. And we need to remember that God is not done with you. See, Christmas tells us we're not alone. But you know what Easter tells us? Evil doesn't win. Evil will not win, all right? Evil does not have the final say, God does, and that's the resurrection. Christmas tells us God is with us. He will come to us. Easter tells us evil does not have the final word. And so there's, I'd love to be there. I'd love to see Simeon's face as he's holding this child, and he's saying, "This is the one. This is the promised Messiah." So in the middle of all his pain, point two, hope is birthed out of deep longings and desperate need. If we weren't desperate, if we didn't have needs, what do we need hope for, right? We need that because of the trials of life. And Simeon shows us this, that it comes out of these deep needs. The Bible tells us, and Luke tells us, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. There's a word, consolation means encouragement or comfort. Now, sometimes we think of encouragement like, "Hey, it's going to be okay, Simeon, you'll be all right." I think it's more than that. It's more than, "Hey, it's going to be okay." It's part of that, but it's more. I mean, for hundreds of years, think of Israel's history. For hundreds of years, they've been defeated. They have been destroyed. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, everybody got in on this game to destroy them. And these chapters in Isaiah that were the promises that Simeon looked to were written in the middle of those difficult times. And so we're reminded that God would send his Messiah and that one day things would change. So when we look out, this isn't how it's always going to be. That one day God will restore all things. Now, Luke uses this word for waiting in this passage in the Greek. It literally means to give access to oneself. So as we're waiting, we're giving access to ourself. What we're saying is, "God, I'm giving you this part of me. God, I'm in pain here. I mean, think of Simeon. This isn't just like some cute story here. Simeon has lived through bloody civil wars. He's lived through persecution. And so as he's waiting, as we're waiting, we're giving access to ourselves. We're giving God access to ourselves. It's kind of waiting you do from the deepest part of yourself. It's a waiting that involves pain. It's awareness that we have a deep need for something. We have a very deep need. And the ancient prayer of Advent is this: "Come, Lord Jesus, come." And I think we should be praying that into the situations where we're in deep pain, where we're struggling. We're saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come into this situation." Sometimes I go with all the way to the Revelation and say, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come, have your will." And a question that I always have to ask myself is, because sometimes when life's going okay, I'm like, "This is all right. But how badly do I want, 'Come, Lord Jesus, come'? Is that what I want? Is that your prayer? Do you want the fullness of Christ?" And here's something I pray. I pray that this Advent season, that this will be different than ever before. That you will wrestle with the pain. We'll wrestle with the pain. We'll wrestle with the struggles of our life. We'll come face to face with the brokenness of the world. Because I think when we see that, we recognize how much we need Christ and how much we need his resurrection, how much we need him in our life. And I'm reminded of how many times do I settle for something less than what's available to me. What's available to me in Jesus Christ. And that brings me to my final point here. Hope is found in a person. Hope is found in a person. If there were Sunday school, I would let you guess who that person is. And then you would know the answer. Because in First Peter, that in the first passage that I read, we're told that our hope it's not set in some empty wishful thinking, but our hope is found in Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is found. It's not found in our 401k. And some of you are saying, well, that's good. I'm really grateful. It's not, you know, this relationship. It's not this job. As strange as this may seem for Americans, it's not about who's our president. It's not about a good medical report. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. It's the promise of the arrival in the future that he will restore all things. And the question is, do I believe that? Do I believe the same that was faithful, the same that came? Will he come again? And is he going to restore all things? Here's a question. How come Simeon got it right and most of the people around him got it wrong? You ever think about that and think like, how would I have responded to Jesus? Because by and large, people, the vast majority didn't say, oh good, here's the Messiah. The vast majority missed it. And I think it goes back to this thought that I have, that there's a God you're looking for, and there's a God that is. And sometimes they don't line up. And they were looking for a Messiah that was going to be this political warrior king who would overthrow the Roman Empire. And instead, Simeon is there holding this baby. This tiny baby who, instead of exerting power, would give himself up on a cross. And I think for the people that miss Jesus, it's because their hope and their expectation were in something else. They were in something else other than Jesus himself. And when our hope is placed in anything other than the promises of God, and that he's going to fulfill them through Jesus Christ, you know what we do? We settle for lesser things. And I don't want to live a life where I settle for lesser things. I want to enter into his story. I want what he wants. And so what do we do while we wait? Well, this would be a perfect time to remind ourselves that as we're waiting, this would be a perfect time to forgive people in your life that have hurt you. This would be a great time. If we're waiting for his kingdom, which is going to restore all things, we can forgive. We can seek forgiveness. We can press into God. We can repent of our sins. We can serve and love people. Yesterday, that was a great example of what we can do as we wait, as we serve, as we love people. We can seek justice. And what do? We wait, but we wait actively. Let me pray, and then I'll have Pastor Zeph lead us in communion. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into our lives. If there's somebody here that just knows a story of a baby in a manger, but hasn't met the living and the resurrected Jesus Christ, that they would say, come, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and my salvation. And for the rest of us, Lord, that each day would be a day where we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come into this situation. And Lord, we look forward. We look forward in hope, recognizing that you will restore all things. That there'll be a day, Lord, that we'll stand before you in your presence with people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And we'll declare that you are Lord. And in that moment, Lord, there'll be no sickness. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more dying. The ugliness of the world will be gone. And so, Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you in hope and expectation and looking for your kingdom to move forward. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we continue in this spirit of prayer, I'd like to encourage you to